Welcome to the Free Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Miles. The Free Lawyer Podcast is designed for the lawyer, entrepreneur, or professional who is in some way unfulfilled, stressed, or stuck, and is looking for something better. We will discuss various blocks that limit us from achieving the personal freedom that we all desire, but have not yet fully experienced. And we will give actionable steps to free yourself from them. Are you looking to achieve a new level of success? If so, this podcast is for you. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of The Free Lawyer. And many of you know that I have a bit of a passion for what's called value-based pricing because I've seen how our billable hourly system, which is traditional in law firms, creates so much stress for lawyers, conflicts between lawyers and law firms, and particularly conflicts between the law firm and the client. And value-based pricing can be a solution that is really catching on. And I'm pleased to have with us today someone who's a true expert on value-based pricing, Sean Jardine. Sean is a lawyer in the UK. He's been practicing since 1986. He grew to hate the billable hour and is a staunch advocate of value-based pricing as a solution to what troubles our legal profession today. So with that introduction, Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing well, very well, Gary. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us, Sean. So let's begin with a bit of background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey through law and how you came to be so passionate about this topic.
Okay. As you mentioned, I qualified in 1986. I was a litigation lawyer. I started my own practice and then that merged with another business and I then managed to grow the practice. And I was elected CEO for a while and did a 3-year term, which lasted 4 years, 9 months, 11 days. Not that I was counting. And, you know, I always thought that there was a better way to charge our clients for legal services. Although as a litigator, I was good. I was good at filling in the timesheet, but it didn't align with what clients want. You know, clients want cheaper. Understandably, who wants to pay more? Lawyers want matters to drag out.
And clients want things faster too. The quicker something is, they pay a premium to have something done more quickly often.
Absolutely. The only time that clients are interested in is turnaround time.
So you were a CEO of a law firm in the UK, and that's quite a deal. You know, there are managing partners of every firm here in the US, but there aren't many of them because you have a firm with hundreds of lawyers and one managing partner. So you have quite a background, but in traditional law. But what drew you to this concept of a different way of doing business?
Well, actually, it was an Australian friend of mine. Well, if I rewind, I read a book by Mitch Kalowski, a Canadian, Avoiding Extinction, Reimagining Legal Services in the 21st Century. And that had a reference to someone you may know, a guy called Patrick Lamb of Valorum, who was talking about AFAs, alternative fee arrangements. And that led me into value-based pricing. And then in 2017, I went out to Allen near Dallas in Texas. And there was a conference being organized by some people there, 100 people, lawyers from all over the world, Australia, Canada, America. I was the only Brit. And it was really those 4 days in Dallas that really kind of got me powered up about this. I met really, really proactive lawyers from all over the world, kept in touch with them.
And was that conference about value-based pricing or what was the?
Yeah, it was exclusively value-based pricing. And, you know, it was wonderful to meet lawyers who were doing it and who could answer all my, and I had a lot of questions about it. And I then kept in touch with all those people, still in touch with them now. And, you know, they've become my friends, but they've also become my kind of mentors as well about how do you do this stuff? And that enabled me to then roll it out in my business in 2021.
I see. So you started instituting value-based pricing as a business system in your law firm that you used to run.
Yeah, yeah. Did it as a pilot across three sectors, and it worked really well.
Are you still with that firm?
No, no. I retired from that firm 2 years ago. And so one of the things I was keen to continue was actually working with other law firms that wanted to embrace value-based pricing.
So I'm familiar with what the term is, but many of my listeners may not, because so many of us come from the hourly system. That's how everything is based on. So explain concisely what value-based pricing means.
Okay. It's, in a nutshell, it is arriving at a price that is fair to the lawyers that create the value and the clients who receive the value. And I'm sure you can, you know, Gary, the old joke about a factory that ground to a halt. And nobody knew how to fix this critical piece of machinery. And they had to get the old engineer from the village who knew how to, had worked on this machinery years and years ago. And they get the old engineer, he comes to the factory. He looks at the machine. He puts his ear onto the machine. He listens intently. And he takes out a hammer from his tool bag, taps the machine. The machine starts running. And then everybody's happy. He puts in a bill for £1,000. Managing director says, I want a breakdown of that bill. That's ridiculous. He was only here 15 minutes. And he said, I want an itemized bill. And the engineer sent in a bill. Look, cost of hammer, £2. Knowing where to tap, 998. And that's value-based pricing. It is knowing where to tap on that gag. It is, it's not the 6 minutes it takes me to tell you the solution. It's 36 years plus the 6 minutes. You know, so that's really what it is.
And you know, I think in so many other areas of our life, everything is based this way. So when I had a landscaping project done, they gave me a price to do it that I couldn't tell what all worked into it, but it was agreeable to me. It was worth it to me. But if they had told me, we'll bill you by the hour and this is hourly rate, we don't know how many hours it'll be, I might have balked. And I know when I have clients in family law ask me, how much does a contested family law case? I said, well, somewhere between $10,000 and $70,000, but don't hold me to it. I've had some less and some more. And that's troubling to them. So how does value-based pricing work?
Okay, so what we do is we spend time with the client at the outset, asking lots of questions, finding out about what's important to them. You know, a great opening question can be taking money off the table, the cost of retaining me as a lawyer, but how would you like me to work with you? You know, and they might be the kind of client that says, look, I just want you a weekly update by phone, or they might say, I want to be told every day everything, something happens. Well, we need to know that because we're going to tailor our service. And a bit like when we go to a car wash, we will be presented with a car wash menu, giving us all kinds of options. And I like to create options for clients, gold, think gold, silver, bronze, whatever it might be creative with your naming. And then I will say to a client, here is a gold service, here is a silver service, here is a bronze service. Which one works for you? And we all like choice. We have choice every day in our own lives. And guess what? Our clients are no different. They want choice as well. But, you know, the way we've been brought up with a billable hour, we don't think that way. So it's a bit of a paradigm shift. We've got to think a little bit differently.
And how are the prices arrived at? So for me, as someone who's practiced 45 years doing billable hours, I'd immediately start thinking, how many hours will this take? And I multiply that times the rate, and I'd say, here's your fee. But is that how you do it, or is there a better way to do it?
That's what I call billable hours in drag, okay, where we think about how long it's going to take, multiply by our hourly rate, and say, here's our fixed price. Now, that could give us a base cost, and you know, where we think, okay, that's a figure that we don't want to go below.
I see.
So we then think, and I'll give you a real life example. And a client I worked with, they had an employment lawyer. The commercial client wanted new contracts for their team, and we gave them three options. One, which was, we'll give you a load of templates and precedents that we can provide you with some guidance notes. You fill them in, send them back to us. We'll check your homework. £2,000. We will do it for you in 3 weeks' time. £5,000. Or we will drop everything, do it for you tomorrow. £8,000. The client chose the £8,000 option because for them, where they were in their business and what they wanted in the transaction, it was important to say, yeah, we'll pay. And guess what? Were they happy? Yes. They jumped straight to the front of the queue for that lawyer's time. Was the lawyer happy? Yeah. I've just done half my target in one day tomorrow for the month. Were the equity partners happy? I imagine they were punching the air. And it's that kind of stuff where we start thinking about, let's not assume we know what our clients want. Let's help having these conversations, creating options, and it can be access to talent. It can be turnaround time. It can be, how are we going to deliver the service? You know,
I think that's a great example because that law firm, maybe a fair charge would have been $5,000 to do the job, but by doing it in a day, they made such a premium. The client was happier. They made more money in much less time. And everybody's a winner.
Yeah. And lots of people think that all clients are the same and should be treated the same. And we know they're not. We know that we will come across clients that are a delight to deal with. And we will know that we come across clients that are really difficult to deal with. And we ought to price them accordingly for that. And, you know, I'm a great fan in empowering lawyers to ask questions of themselves to increase the price. And that's what I call creating a lawyer scoring matrix, where it will ask, how busy are you, Gary? Oh, I'm really busy, Sean. Okay, let's put the price up. Can you delegate this, Gary? No, I can't. Let's put the price up. Is it complicated? Yeah, it is. Put the price up. Gary, do you think you're going to enjoy working with these people? No, not at all. Okay, let's put the price up. And if you don't get the work, that might be absolutely okay.
What are the major benefits of using value-based pricing as you see it?
Oh, well, there's so many. For the benefits of the clients, it can be they get price certainty, because if you give them a price and then you bill them what you said you were going to bill them, they're happy with that. So they're not surprised with the extras that they get. For the lawyer, you're actually working with people who want to work with you, who are going to pay you what you've asked for. So that's good. So it's great for cash flow. You have more time to develop better customer relationships. And I think, you know, for the law firm itself, you can spend less time and effort chasing age debt, things like that. You know, it's better for everybody concerned. And the time to find out that the client's not a fit is before you've done the work, not afterwards.
Because a client commits to paying that charge for that service and often will pay in advance, or at least has agreed to that amount, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And I think the current system creates conflicts between the law firm and the client, because a client, like in your example, they want work done efficiently and quickly, and the law firm profits when it takes slower and longer. So there's this inherent conflict. But it seems when you do value-based pricing, for example, with the contracts for £8,000 in one day, we're working in synergy. We're trying to get things, we're on the same page. We're working together. And the law firm profits from being more efficient instead of profiting from being less efficient.
Absolutely. Hourly rate, the slowest horse wins the race, because, you know, if you're going to take longer than anybody else to do anything, and you've got a client playing by the hour, you're going to earn more money. And that can't be right.
Slowest horse wins a race. And it's so true. It's kind of sad, isn't it? One of the things I've seen is that so many lawyers are under so much stress in the billable hourly system. They feel minimized and dehumanized by their value being measured in 1/10 of an hour. They can't enjoy a vacation because they're thinking, this is a week I'm not billing. How do lawyers who use value-based pricing, how do they feel about their work in comparison to the hourly system?
Well, I think they feel much better about it because they feel they are getting paid for the benefit and the value they create. I mentioned that lawyer scoring matrix. I was the second pair of eyes on a client's portfolio. So they had to come to me to get approval on matters. And I said to this lawyer, she was a probate lawyer. I said, and the Excel spreadsheet calculator they were using chart said it's £6,000. And I said, how busy are you? She said, I'm maxed. Can you delegate it? She said, no. I said, why can't you delegate it? This is a simple probate. She said, Sean, I can't delegate this matter because the three siblings have just left my office. They've all been arguing over mum's estate. They're all arguing over which piece of jewellery they get. And mum hasn't even been buried yet. She said, I'm going to have three conversations every time we do anything on this probate. And I said to this lawyer, how much do you want to charge then? And she said, £24,000, four times the amount. I said, right, fine, price approved. She asked for it and she got it. They came back and said, yes. How do you think she feels about dealing with her work? She's really happy. And that's, you know, life is too short to be unhappy. And if we don't need every bit of work that comes through the front door, we just need more than our fair share of the good stuff.
That's true. That's true. How does the value-based pricing benefit clients, or how do clients prefer that over the traditional system?
Well, I think clients like choice, you know, so if I'm giving you three choices and you're my client and I'm giving you fixed prices for that, what's not to like? Clients don't like being told my hourly rate is £350 an hour and I'll just carry on billing you. They don't like that. And if you think about the maths, if I just give you an hourly rate and it's a take it or leave it, it's a 50-50. If I give you three prices or leave it, it's a 75-25. I've got three chances of making a sale to you as a client. And clients want their legal work done. They want that certainty. And they want to be able to spend time with the lawyer, because once I've given you a fixed price, I don't mind spending an extra half hour with you. If I'm billing you by the hour, you're going to want to get off the phone very quickly.
True. There's this inherent conflict when I talk to a client. They'll say, you don't have to call me about this because I don't want to get billed for it. But if it's already built into the price, they're happy to talk to you and you build up a better relationship, don't you?
Absolutely. A friend of mine in Australia, she had a client when she was billing by the hour who would time the calls and then say to her when it got to 5:30, I've got to go now because it's coming up to it's coming up to 6 minutes. And that's not the trusted advisor status we want with our clients and the relationship we want, you know. So and if you can reduce your caseload by 40% but double your income, you're gonna, as a lawyer, you're gonna have a much better work life balance, aren't you? You know, and that's ultimately what we want to do for, you know, finding the clients who respect and value what we do.
So for the law firm, is it your thought that this creates more profit and less time for the law firms and happier clients as well?
It does. It does. As I say, we don't need every bit of work that comes through the front door, but lawyers are quite often conditioned to think that we do need to do every bit of work that comes through the front door. And I've done surveys with clients and law firms. Every law firm I work with, I like to do an anonymous survey. And I ask a question, does your firm make you act for clients that are too difficult to deal with and are unprofitable? And I've had law firms as much as 96% come back and say, yes. So it's never been lower than 55%, and it's as high as 96% of yes, we are asked to deal with clients that we don't want to deal with. And what's that like for your working day? The answer is it's bad.
That's when lawyers become unfulfilled and burned out, when they have to work for clients that they don't want to work for. So the big question that I have, and I suspect many of my listeners have, I've done litigation for 45 years. some of it in the serious personal injury realm, and the last 15 years focusing on family law. And certain things in law are more predictable than others. Drafting employment agreements, as we discussed at the beginning, is fairly predictable how long that'll take me to do that. But you never know the twists and turns of a litigation case. You don't know what the other lawyer is going to be like. How can I ever use value-based pricing in a litigation matter, which even to me with my years of experience is so unpredictable about what direction it will go?
Okay, right. We will take a pebble and we will drop it in a pond, and we will see lots of concentric circles go out from that. The concentric circle at the very center of that of the pond is the work that we know how to do. So if a client comes to you and says, Gary, I need to get a divorce from my husband, can you write him a letter to start the divorce proceedings? Do you know how to do that work? Yeah. Can you give me a fixed price for that work, Gary? Yes, I can, because I've done it hundreds of times. I know I can give you a fixed price for that. The second concentric circle is what is likely to happen in that area. And you might say, well, what is likely to happen is that we don't hear from the husband. Well, we do hear, or secondly, we do hear from the husband and he'll ring up and shout at you or whatever, or we hear from the husband's lawyer. Gary, can you give me a fixed price for that likely work? So circle one and circle two, can you give me a fixed price for those? And you'll say, yeah, I can, because I'm an experienced matrimonial attorney. I know how to do that. So give prices for that, because then you can say to the client, when we get into the realms of I don't know or who the hell knows work, which is what we are further out in the circles, when we get there, I will then see where we are and I will give you a fixed price for that next stage. And if we say, clients don't expect us to be psychic, but if we can say to them, we will price you for the yes work and the likely work, we'll do that first, then we'll price you for the next stages, then clients are quite happy to sign up on that basis.
I see. So we start the litigation matter and I hear from the lawyer and we can't come to agreement and I file the divorce case. And I guess what we don't know is how difficult the lawyer will be on discovery, whether I have to file motions, etc. But we judge that when the time comes and give different options to the client.
And we scope out, when based on our knowledge and experience, we scope out what we're going to do so that if, for example, we're saying, and I was a litigator too, so if we're saying, look, you know, you've told me at the outset we're only going to need three witnesses. If when we carry on, we get to, oh, actually, we need 13 witnesses, another 10. I say, well, you know, I only scoped this for three. I now need to interview the other 10, which I can do. And the fixed price for that is going to be whatever 10 witness statements are. And then I give you, again, the fixed price. And there are lawyers out there in the wider world who are saying to their clients at the outset, you will never receive a bill from us that you've not previously authorized. You will never receive a bill from us you've not previously authorized. And that's pretty powerful. And in an area where we're looking to differentiate ourselves, that's a way to do it.
So what happens when you're in the middle of the developing litigation matter, family law or something else, and the client says, oh, I'm not interested in paying $8,000 for that scope of services, but that's really a fair value. What happens then? We get out of the case?
Yeah, ultimately, yes, because if we're saying to the, as we're getting, we're going through stage by stage, we can say, well, look, again, some of the variables might be, I am going to do this piece of work on the, let's say the discovery, when we're going to be faced with doing lots and lots of documents. Now, I can create options about how we price that work. I could say, give it all to me. I will do it. Or it might be, can your accountant put together all the financial records in a chronological bundle, paginated, et cetera, et cetera? That'll be cheaper. Or do you want to do it yourself? And I will check your homework. And again, we can create options for clients at different stages. In the same way, over here in the UK, we have barristers, you know, these guys with wigs and gowns that appear in court. And depending on their level of seniority and whether or not they are King's Counsel, so they've been identified as being elite advocates, the price differs dramatically depending on the age and experience of the advocate and their specialization rate. And there's no reason why we can't do that within our own law firms. And I you know, if you want the senior partner or the head of the family law team to deal with your divorce, the price is X. However, I've got a newly qualified lawyer down here, straight out of bar school, very able, but the price is Y. What do you want to pay? And if they're saying, I want the partner, great. If they're saying, my budget only allows me to have the junior lawyer, fine. And it's all about choice.
It is. And I can see, for example, with discovery of documents, if the client does all the work and organizing them by category and presents them that way, that takes a lot less time. And I've had this happen. A client brought in three boxes of seemingly random papers and put them in my office. It takes a lot more. And that's an area where we could give a client choices, or in taking depositions. You know, if you want to have depose these witnesses, which is important, then the price for that will be, you know, such and so. So client choice is important. I see so many benefits to it. And I see how with my years of experience, I could start to come up with options and value-based pricing for different services. But what's the problem? Why haven't all the law firms gone to adopting this model, since it obviously makes so much sense?
Well, I think one of the problems is, you know, if you're an equity partner in a global law firm and you're drawing $5 million a year or something like that, it's hard to tell a room full of multimillionaires their business model is wrong. We have a situation where lawyers are naturally conservative, risk averse, and don't like change. So it's not in our nature to want to do something different. We've all been brought up with the billable hour and we're used to it. And, you know, we think, well, okay, we can do it. It's a tried and tested method for us. But you alluded to it at the outset. How many lawyers would ever retain a builder and all the subcontractors for building extension at their homes on a day work basis?
Right. No one.
No one. But we ask our clients every day to do that. Retain us as a builder on a day work basis. And we charge more than the builder per day, you know, and we're not going to tell you how long it's going to take. And yet we're saying we're experts. Yet we're experts in our field, but we're not so expert that we can't give you a fixed price for what we're going to do for you.
It doesn't make sense, actually, when you say it that way.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about generative AI and how that'll affect law and the pricing of services. It really is amazing to me whenever I use it, how quickly it can do something for me and often better than I could do myself. I'm pretty bright, I'm pretty experienced, but with a lot of the stuff I do, I'll ask Gen AI to come up with something which are helpful suggestions, and it amazes me how productive it is. How will that affect law firms and the traditional billing model?
Well, I think if you're billing by the hour, and we know many law firms are, that Gen AI is the final nail in the coffin of the billable hour.
And why is that?
Courts are issuing practice directions. I saw one in California, actually, where they've already said that if you are using AI to do your legal work, you are not able now to charge for doing the work by the hour that you would have done ordinarily. So if something was taking you 10 hours and you're now using AI, you can't charge for the 10 hours. You know, you've just got to charge for the AI time. So does that mean that we're now going to start saying, well, what used to take me 10 hours, I will use AI for, it takes me 10 minutes, I will charge for 10 minutes. The roles have been reversed again. You know, we need to have conversations with our clients and say, we will deliver outcomes to you, but we don't charge by the hour. We just don't do it. We will give you three prices. They are value-based prices, and we invite you to select one. Now, in Victoria, in Australia, their state have actually identified that value-based pricing is one of the preferred options. And I think that's where AI will take us. And I think it is going to be very powerful, have a huge impact on the legal profession. There's a lot of lawyers out there saying, oh, it hallucinates. Look what happened with, I think it was Stephen Schwartz at the New York bar with his airport case or his air accident claim case. AI is only going to be better, and the neural networks that power it are doubling in capacity every 3.5 months. So in 5 years' time, it's going to be 300,000 times better.
And that'll affect how much time we spend on matters. It'll save us a lot of time and make it, it won't change what the client's receiving, but it'll change the amount of time it takes. So value-based pricing is a solution that could work.
Absolutely. And again, because we're just giving clients outcomes and choices not related to the time it takes us to do something. But it's an incredibly powerful tool.
So for a firm who is thinking about this concept, because it all sounds so appealing, how and where do they start?
Okay, look, I'm a great fan in doing a pilot project. You know, obviously, if there's only two people in your firm, you could go big bang. But in my business, there were 247 people at its largest. So do a pilot group. If you read John Cotter's Our Iceberg is Melting, that's a great book about change management. And what we need to do is create a group of pioneer penguins, enthusiastic individuals who want to give this a go. And then you start small. We need to have a psychological safe space for people to try with this, because we don't want lawyers. You know, lawyers sometimes are very good at blaming colleagues and blaming people who want to try something innovative. And we want to create this safe space and say to people, give it a go, because it is an art, not a science.
What are the challenges in beginning to use value-based pricing and in convincing your firm that it's the way to go?
Okay. Well, the first challenge is the owners of the business saying, look, we're going to give this a go and we're going to make a strategic decision to change our pricing model. And then we've got to make sure that everybody stays within the tent and gives, you know, is prepared to get on board and do this. And we've got to start actually then taking time to speak to clients and find out what they want and start having onboarding conversations and fact finds. And it becomes a change of culture. And, you know, if you like, the magic happens when we start saying to some of our lawyers, you know, and I used to love doing this when a young lawyer would say to me, not necessarily even a young lawyer, a lawyer would say to me, this client is too difficult to deal with. I say, okay, let's have a chat about it. Let's have a look. And then we will finish that matter for that particular client and then say, we don't want any more work from you. Thank you very much. And that is very empowering for your troops, for people in your organization to hear that we're not compelled to deal with these people anymore, that aren't a right fit for us.
So what are some of the challenges? Leaders leading, what about with the lawyers? What about with the clients? How would someone really make this happen in their firm?
It's a training program. It's a training program. And the book I've written seeks to outline that. And I identified 125 tasks in a template to say, this is where we start. Task number one is buy a copy of John Cotter, Harvard Business School book. That's task number one. And I should have probably put task number two is read it, but I'm assuming people will read it. But then we just go through this task list, because lawyers want to do it, but sometimes they think, do you know what? I don't know where to start.
Right.
And this gives people a plan. And it's
tell
plan
me about your book. What's it called and what is its purpose?
It's called Ditch the Billable Hour, Implementing Value-Based Pricing in a Law Firm. And basically what it seeks to do is act as a bit of a roadmap for lawyers who want to learn more about value-based pricing and implement it in their organization. And I've pulled together lots of, I interviewed lots of people who, you know, who all got a take on this. I've put together lots of resources so that people can think, well, what should I, what else should I read? What YouTube clips can I look at? What TED talks can I help? It's got cartoons in it. And let's face it, everybody learns differently. Some are visual learners, some like to do, some like to audible learners. So I wanted to create a book where I don't care how the penny drops for the lawyers, as long as the penny drops one way or other. And
your book, Ditch the Billable Hour, explains in some detail what value-based pricing is, why it's better, and how to implement it.
That's it in a nutshell, and it's 400 pages of a nutshell.
So for those of you who are listening, we've just sort of scratched the surface of this so important topic. And Sean's book is 400 pages long. That's what's involved in the process. We obviously can't cover all of it here today. But I really encourage each and every one of you to get a copy of Ditch the Billable Hour and open your mind to a better way of doing business, where you can make more money in less time, feel more fulfilled, and have happier clients. And that's a win-win-win. So I really encourage you to open your mind and look at Ditch the Billable Hour. Sean, where can they get your book?
It's available at Amazon in the US, Canada, UK, and Australia. So that's where it is at the moment.
Well, all you need to say is Amazon, because here in the US, all we know about is Amazon. If it's on Amazon, we'll find it.
Right, it's there.
And, you know, as a final word, if you had to give people listening one piece of advice about value-based pricing, what would it be?
No one in your organization should price their work independently. Always get two pairs of eyes on every price. Because Gary, if I was the second pair of eyes on your matrimonial cases, I'm going to be far more bullish about the prices you should charge than you will be, because you're the one having the conversation with the client. And I will be saying to you, but Gary, you're so experienced in this area of law, et cetera, et cetera. And no one should price their own work in isolation. If you just do nothing other than that, you will start.
That's so interesting, because I wouldn't have thought of that. But I've talked to so many lawyers who always undervalue who they are, who doubt how good they are, who admire their colleagues, but compare themselves and wonder if they measure up. So I think that's very interesting that someone else in the firm might value our services higher than we do.
And that's why actors have agents, pro footballers, pro sportsmen have agents. They're better at negotiating a rate for their talent than they would, the individual would be themselves. So let's take a leaf out of their book.
Well, Sean, I want to compliment you. You've been practicing law for, you know, many years, over 35 years, and you've so transformed yourself and trying to transform our profession that sometimes, you know, the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You and I can learn new things all the time. And I have a passion to improve the legal profession, and so do you. And I think we can make it a lot better. And I think this is a step in the right direction.
Well, thank you, Gary. And, you know, all power to your elbow for what you're doing with your podcasts. They're great. I enjoy listening to them.
Thank you, Sean. And I want to thank each of you for joining me here today. And I say that at the end of every podcast, but today I'm going to say something else. I want you all to open your mind, to consider something different, to look at value-based pricing as a basis for transforming your firm and making it something where you win, you and the clients have synergy, and that you're trying to get the work done more quickly and more efficiently, where your client will pay a premium for the value you provide, and you and your staff will be happier, work less hours, and be more fulfilled. And you may say that's not possible, and it does seem like it's so many good things. How could it be true? It takes a little bit of work, but folks like Sean can coach you on how to do that and make it happen for you. So please open your mind, get a copy of Sean's book. Sean, thank you so much. You really are an innovative expert, and I thank you for that.
Gary, I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you all for joining us here today. Appreciate each and every one of you. And as always, please be well, be safe, and be free. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Free Lawyer Podcast. Wherever you are listening, if you enjoyed what I shared, please leave me a rating and review. I would appreciate hearing more about what you like best and what topics you might like me to cover in future episodes. If you are interested in experiencing a more fulfilling and a more successful life, please contact me at www.garymiles.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me so I can learn more about you, your challenges, and your dreams. I appreciate each and every one of you, and have a great rest of your day. Thanks to all of you for your support.